In the control room this morning is the interim superintendent of the Bryan Independent School District, Dr. Tim Roeke. Thanks for being with us this morning, Doctor.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
All the news out there over the weekend, on Friday and over the weekend, had to do with the first A through F grades that came out, the preliminary form of this new letter accountability system that was planned. Even before it's... Oh, let me stop. You're an interim superintendent.
Yes.
Taken applications. Have you applied for the job full-time?
Absolutely. My name is in the hat.
Okay. Just wanted to make that official. Okay. All right. So the preliminary A through F scores roll out, and nobody's happy. Now, this was mandated by the legislature 2 years ago that it's got to come out today, and even or come out Friday. TEA said it wasn't a good plan. The Commissioner of Education said we're probably not finished with it.
Sure.
Besides the mandate from the legislature, why do you think this needed to be out there for people to see?
Well, you know, obviously it was a statutory requirement, so the TEA was compelled to get it out the door. I'm not sure, other than the fact that it's compliance on their behalf, but you know, they advocate that it's a system that doesn't single file line districts or kids up, but it's based on standardized assessment, which is taking a test on one given day and the results that happen to come about by that one single event. So the vast majority of the system is heavy on standardized assessment. And, you know, I think people believe it will be a simpler system to understand, A through F. We all kind of get that, right? However, it's very different than the A through F system we're all familiar with as students. When I was a student, I had the opportunity, equal opportunity, to make an A in everything that I did. Now, that didn't always happen. You got to know that.
Sure.
But, you know, it was one of those things. This system really is normally distributed. So about 90% of all schools in Texas today on this what if are ranked below an A and aren't likely to get to an A unless there's drastic changes to what they put forward.
So let's go over the four areas were: one, student achievement; two, student progress; three, closing the performance gaps; and four, college or career readiness. Now, they're going to have a fifth one about community and student engagement. We'll talk about that in a minute. But tell me, were those good metrics to use?
You know, we have a system now that essentially uses those same four domains, or they're presently called indices, and so we're pretty comfortable with those four measures. So those actually do help you improve schools, but at no point in time previous to now did any of us sitting in the superintendent chair think that the state of Texas was going to rank order all of us based on our performance. Now we have a criterion. You get above the line and you have met standard. If you do really well compared to your 40 like districts, you get distinctions. For instance, Bryan High School was awarded 5 distinctions through the accountability system with a very similar 4-domain area. Did quite well. However, they were ranked very low on this A through F system. So it's kind of a mixed bag. It's like alphabet soup, you know, and they just kind of parse out the grades, so to speak, based on this normal distribution. But each one of those four measures are good ways to improve schools and improve classrooms.
What was the most pleasant surprise and the most disappointing thing you saw in the BISD scores?
Probably the most pleasant surprise was the fact that we have an all-A high school, Bryan Collegiate High School. But, you know, really that doesn't tell their story, because that's even actually less than really who they are. Because the state system measures, for instance, for post-secondary readiness, that you would have taken 12 hours of college credit. Well, our kids are walking out the door with 40-plus. Many also go on to get a 60-degree associate's degree. So, you know, that was a very pleasant surprise, and it's the only one in the region. Probably the most disappointing was the fact that at Bryan High School, for instance, it's you know, our flagship institution, was ranked across the board very low with D's, yet the state awarded them 5 distinctions in their current accountability system, and we're very proud of their accomplishments. So those are the two that really just kind of stick out, and we're just shocking that you know, that's where we are.
Dr. Tim Roeke, who's the interim superintendent of BISD, joining us. In a Texas Monthly article that appeared last week, your counterpart in College Station, Clark Ely, said he puts more stock in the district's 3-year local accountability system, which includes ratings in 14 different categories with less focus on star scores and emphasis on offerings such as wellness and fine arts. the district will comply with the state accountability system, but we won't focus on it, he said. Your thoughts? Fair with that?
I think he's point on, really. You know, when you ask our parents, how would you grade your school? They give us pretty high marks. They're pretty proud of their teachers and the building and the principals and all the work that goes on. And I think when we do focus on a local accountability system that measures all those intangibles, you know, how many students are involved in our athletic programs and how they excel, or our fine arts programs, our career and technical ed, and our clubs and organizations like the FFA and those kinds of activities, the accountability system we now have doesn't measure any of that. It just simply measures how'd you do on a standardized test.
1,050 school districts basically in Texas. San Antonio says they welcomed this report because they believe this gives them a benchmark as they grow over the next 5 years. Your thoughts there?
Well, I think, you know, we already have a benchmark, and it's well established under the current system. And we also have our own internal benchmarks. I think probably districts may have some interest in it if it were tied to funding. We know that campuses and districts that have higher poverty levels or higher percentages of minority students require more resources. And the statistics have borne out that, you know, the lower your grade is, there's a correlation. You probably have a higher level of economically disadvantaged children in that school. So if it were actually something that was tied to revenue from the state of Texas, it might be that this would be a system that would actually help us so that we all can get to an A in each and every case.
Well, let's ask the tough question then, because Bryan is a school district that has 75% disadvantage. Is that fair?
That is correct.
Part of the problem is at home, the environment that child comes from, and the school cannot fix all of that. So what does the school, where is the school's responsibility start and finish when you have children coming from an environment where learning is not important?
Well, our goal is for every child to come in and reach their maximum potential. So we're going to do everything we can, regardless of what they come from. But we do recognize exactly what you said, Scott, which is there are issues that we deal with every day based on from where the child comes. So can we, in fact, take a child who comes from poverty and get them to the same level as someone of affluence? Absolutely we can, with enough resources. So what we have to do as a state is decide, are we going to embrace all children? Are we going to realize that the entire state of Texas is 60% economically disadvantaged? And are we going to fund us adequately, put enough resources together so that we can take that child of poverty and move them to the level similar to a child of affluence?
You basically answered my next question, was if today you could stand in the well at the Texas legislature in Austin, what would you say to them? Anything to expand over what you just said?
Sure. I would say, you know, their expectations are along the lines of let's build a Cadillac model, which I think is a great thing, a world-class education that puts us at the competitive edge of business and industry and our Texas economy, which is very important for us. But in order for us to build that, we need to take a look at our resources. And let's not fund schools on a Hyundai-type, you know, budget. Let's really match the resources to the need, to the expectations, because we know everything we need to know to get our children of poverty to that highest level possible, and they certainly have the ability to do it. It takes more.
You know, I say an escrow account is the worst thing in the world if people don't look at their tax statement. They don't see. I spend a lot of money, and I spend it at the Bryan Independent School District. I'm a taxpayer in both districts. I'm concerned about how much money goes there, and I want to see how that money is being spent, because now you're saying, I don't want a Hyundai, I want a Cadillac, and that's fine. We'd all like to have that. But we're at a point where if I'm giving X number of dollars to BISD, how do I know that that's being spent in the most efficient way to deliver to the student?
You know, I think when you take a look at what we're doing academically and also extracurricularly with our programming, you look at where our kids are going. You know, we had a valedictorian out of Bryan Collegiate High School that is at MIT. You know, so when you look at our post-secondary readiness, and again, the measures that they gave us really doesn't reflective of what our kids are doing. We know that our graduates leave Bryan ISD and are on average more successful in post-secondary than the average Texas child. So I think those are the kinds of measures. And if you want to look and hold us accountable, look at our ACT, SAT, look at our college entrance requirements. Those kinds of measures, which are uniform across the country, we certainly are interested in improving in all of those measures. take a look at the number of kids who enter the workforce and their readiness for workforce. Look to see what we're doing in our career and technical education programs. We have the third-ranked FFA program in the nation in Bryan, Texas. So, you know, we're doing some pretty compelling things. I think you can look to see that we're spending your money wisely, and I certainly do not take it lightly. Each and every penny that our local constituents give us, we have to be frugal, we have to be respectful, and mindful that we have other people's money that we're making these decisions with. So no stone goes unturned. We want to be as efficient and as effective as we possibly can be with your money.
Tim Roeke is the interim superintendent of BISD. He joins us this morning. As a group, charter schools performed better, and that lends to the weight of the argument of school choice. We have a lieutenant governor who believes very strongly in school choice and a voucher program. Do you foresee that there will be some move in that direction in this legislature?
I think so, especially in this Senate. We are expecting that the Senate would put forward a bill and probably pass a bill out of the Senate regarding school vouchers in some form. The House would probably be more resistant to that, from what I understand. And I'm not sure that it, you know, would be successful in the House. But, you know, we're not necessarily in opposition to charters. We think they all have a place. We just ask that you level the playing field. If we're going to hand vouchers out to private education or to charter schools, let's make them play on the same field. They should have to take the same standardized assessments that public education takes. They should have the same rules and regulations that we have. But they simply don't. They have more flexibility, and they have more selection. And charter schools can kind of pick and choose who walks in the door. And if they don't like you, they can invite you out. In public ed, we don't have that luxury.
Let's turn to school finance finally this morning. Supreme Court has seven times heard school financing. In May, unanimously said that the system, while it's Byzantine and ossified, which means complicated and inflexible, but it's constitutional, they said. And so as a result, I think they're saying, we're not going to work it out at the courthouse. You're going to have to work it out in Austin. So if that is the charge, we've got oil at a lower price than we thought it would be at this time. We've got more people moving here, so we've got a highway network. We have a foster system. We have a lot of things that are going to be calling on that amount of money that we have, which is a very finite amount. So as one administrator who has a financial background in education, what do you say is a basic solution that we can have so we can have a fair and equitable financing system for schools?
That's a great question. You know, schools have a direct correlation to residential property. And so if you look at what schools are doing, we're collecting property taxes from every property, you know, owner within our jurisdiction. It's commercial, it's oil and gas, it's mineral, it's a lot of stuff. But really the only one that is directly correlated with what's going on in a school is the residential tax, the residential property tax. And that's also the one that you and I feel in our wallet. So I would suggest that the state consider, let's turn local taxation over to just residential property. Let's take all the other properties that are out there and have the state of Texas collect those taxes, and have the state of Texas redistribute those taxes in such a way that it's more equitable. This won't make everybody exactly even, but it would put a system into play that would be more closely related to the number of kids that are in a district, the conditions that are in a district, and kind of the local scene for a specific district.
Well, we'll look forward to what Austin does, and we'll touch base with you from time to time, certainly as the school year goes on. I appreciate the time this morning.
Thank you so much.